This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Some shows talk about one team. Other shows barely talk sports. This show will talk Packers, yeah! Brewers, yeah! and Bucks, yeah! every day.
Every day.
It's Wisconsin Sports Daily
with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Download the Wendy's app today.
Yeah, we're doing. Welcome in as we are out here again at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, hour number two of the 18th annual Fan Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robinson's, the foster care arm affiliated with Children's Wisconsin, collecting toys, cash donations. You can donate online as well at thefanmilwaukee.com as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM in the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Sparky here, like always, being joined now by the general manager of the Milwaukee Brewers, Matt Arnold. Matt, thanks for coming out.
Thanks, Sparky. Appreciate you.
I will say that you carry on a tradition. We've done this 18 years. The Brewers general manager has never missed a year, whoever has sat in the seat. Doug Melvin was here every year. David Stearns was here every year. And now you get your chance, because last year we had no radio shows, so he couldn't be here for that. Sorry. I was here, but you couldn't be, obviously. So you're here this year, and I appreciate the tradition continuing.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you having us. That's a long lineage of folks, and I take that with a lot of pride. I really do. We got a lot of good people here in this franchise for a lot of years, and I appreciate you inviting me.
I will say that when I had Doug Melvin, it was very fun. Because he just would talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And it was great. And he'd say stuff and be like, wait, what did you just say? And you know, he'd talk himself into some trouble sometimes. Sure. with what he let you on to what was going on. And then we got David Stearns. And you came, obviously, with David Stearns. And I was like, man, he's really stiff, man. He's got to loosen. He has got to loosen up, man. And then when he came out here the first time to do the toy drive, yeah. And you get him in this setting. And back then, you know, it's Gary Ellerson, it's Leroy Butler. So there's more of us. It's not just me and him. And then you get to talk to him off the air without microphones. And then he really got to loosen up. And you figured out how you could have fun with him. And he poked back and all of that stuff. And I loved having David Stearns on. One of my favorite people that we talked to. Now, you're Mr. Fantasy Football, Matt Arnold. I remember that. You don't think I forget that. Just because you went from assistant GM to GM does not mean I forgot about our conversations about fantasy football.
For sure.
So I did not forget about that. And I appreciate that. So let me ask you first things first, before we get into all the current stuff going on. obviously, I'm guessing you've always wanted to be in this role for some team around Major League Baseball. There's so many jobs, probably, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you think about it, of course, especially when you spend your career in the game, and just not even just my whole life around the game. You know, going to games as a little kid, sitting in the bleachers in Oakland Coliseum, and
God, never, where did you sit in bleachers at?
Left field, yeah,
in right Oakland Coliseum.
Oh yeah,
buddy. Got feelings on this topic.
Oh,
then.
Don't get me started. It's sensitive for me. Yeah, that's a trigger.
We're gonna have to talk about that
just
a little bit.
Just the whole.
We'll save that for later
thing,
in the interview.
Yeah, that's a tough.
Okay.
Yeah, tough one for me.
Go ahead.
But yeah, when you get an opportunity to just get your foot in the door, it's like I just want to be around the game. I remember sitting down many years ago and driving all the way down to Anaheim to meet with some of those guys in the front office, going way back to those guys and sitting there in front of them. And they asked me sort of like what I said. I was in the neighborhood and I was like 5 hours away and I drove all the way down there. I was like, yeah, I'm right there. I'll be right there. And I just like got in the car and I drove my old 77 yep. Cheyenne truck.
There you go.
And I drove down there. It was 8 miles a gallon on that hog,
oh,
you know, and got in there. And they asked me sort of like, what department do you want to work in? And I was like, I don't know, man. Like, I just want to do whatever I can do to help out. And that's sort of the mentality I've taken forever. Like, I just love being around the sport. And the more I've been exposed to and the people that I've been around, I mean, it's just like it's awesome to be part of a really cool thing and be a part of this sport that we all love so much.
So what's the background? I mean, you play Little League, you play high school, you play college. Like, what's the background?
Played as far as I could go. You know, had a chance as a recruited walk-on at Santa Barbara. Didn't play there. I would have been holding the balls anyway, but I played all through high school. We had three guys off my team get drafted out of
nice.
High school, so we had a good team. One of them is actually Octavio Martinez, who's the bullpen catcher for the Nationals.
Okay.
So, you know, I played as long as I could, and I was obviously a slow twitch kid, and just
can't
loved the game,
that.
You know, and so, but I got an internship with the Dodgers, back in 2000 and drove 100 miles in each direction every day to Dodger Stadium from Santa Barbara. And
that's crazy.
Yeah, it was, you know, just one of those things. I was like, I just got to find a way to make this happen and loved it.
Isn't that a lesson to every person in high school right now or going to college? You have to want it that bad. You have to want it that bad to be willing to do anything to get in the door. And then once you're in the door, you have to go above and beyond what's asked of you and make yourself available 24 hours a day. Screw social life. Screw everything else. Everything becomes dedicated to that if you want to go where you want to go.
Yeah, I don't even think I could do it again, to be honest.
Really?
Like, it's one of, I mean, I love the journey. It's like, it's just like there are days where you're like, I am like completely broken today and I got to go, you know,
yes.
and it's like, but it's not that you don't love it. It's like there's just not enough hours in the day and I'm just doing everything. And now teams are a lot more specialized. But back in the day, I was kind of like doing everything for everybody. And that's sort of what allows you to move on. It's just like, yeah, you need help, I'll help you. You know, you need help, I'll help you. And that was sort of my mentality. I'll just like, if it's there, I'll help, you know. And that's,
so
that's
where
my
did
mentality forever.
Where did the introduction to these advanced analytics come in for you? Because obviously that's tied to you as well, coming here from Tampa.
I mean, I'm kind of nerdy. I had an economics degree just was a, you know, math kid kind of growing up, you
okay.
know, you know, as so for as long as I've been around the game, you know, just like studying it and drafting teams with my dad, you know, fantasy teams
I'm
going
telling
way
you guys,
back forever.
He's and one of us, y'all.
It's,
I'm telling you, this
know,
dude is one of
junkie.
Us.
It's great. And,
I love it. That's good.
And so just being around it and honestly, like having to learn, it's a growth mindset every day and having to keep up with these guys because we got a ton of smart dudes. And it's like, man, I gotta keep reading, you know, to catch up on everything.
So how many guys do you have, guys and women, I guess, on your analytics team or however you want to say what it is?
So
like
it's
a dozen, 20, how many you got?
It's probably, yeah, it's more than that for sure. It's really, it's interesting. Now these guys, you've sort of had this, like, the propeller heads, right, for
yeah.
a while. And then now what's happening is it's a little bit of a hybrid where now you have guys that are extending into these other spaces, player development, major league coaching, scouting, and so they wear a couple of different hats, so they're versed in analytics, but they're also helping out in other departments too. So frankly, you know, we're kind of spreading across the entire organization.
How important is the dude that is, I don't know, 60, 65 years old, doesn't know the advanced analytics, just that old school baseball scout, I'm going to tell you what I see, what I know, who I've talked to, all of that. Is that person still in these organizations around baseball, or has that become extinct?
No, I love those kind of guys. I think we, you know, Doug Melvin and Gord Ash still work with us.
Well,
and so
Doug Melvin is one of those guys that's a proponent of those guys.
Love it, and
yes.
so am I, frankly. I've just been a scout for so many years myself, and like, you need those guys to raise their hand and say, hey, this doesn't look right. This doesn't smell right. Like, just because the numbers say this, like, do you know anything about this kid? Do you know where he's from, what he's about, his family, like how he plays the game? Have you talked to his coaches? Like, probably not. You know what I mean? And so those guys can get in the door and probably have a relationship with this kid's coach since he was, you know, 13 years old. And those guys are the ones that tell you, like, this is who this guy is, and that's who you want to bet on.
Let's talk about more of that. Matt Arnold, Brewers GM out here at the 18th Annual Fan Toy Drive, Children's Wisconsin, Robin's Nest. Still time for you out here to 6 o'clock. Drop off, donate a toy. Go inside at Toyland. They have lots of toys you can buy and donate. Cash donations, donate online at thefanmilwaukee.com. I want to talk about international scouting. Where was the investment from this organization when you and David came in as far as how into it they were coming off of Doug Melvin, and where is it now? Because to me, it feels like we've kind of taken another step forward with the international scouting with the Brewers organization.
Look, I think it's come a long way, and I'm so passionate about it. I actually spent Thanksgiving in the Dominican Republic with my family.
Don't gloat. The rest of us are here in cold weather.
Saying, I was actually in the Dominican for Thanksgiving.
Oh, good for you. I'm happy for you, Matt.
I'll say this is there was work involved, so we did actually agree with a player there. So there was some, you know, maybe a couple cocktails, but you know, we also got some real work done. But I mean, honestly, like, yeah, you can do both. You know, you have some Presidentes at night, no problem.
As well, yes.
Maybe a couple celebrate. but no, it's like our Dominican family, and like being around, I got to spend some time with Manuel Vargas and Carlos Villanueva, and saw a bunch of our players that
Carlos
are down
Villanueva,
there.
Carlos Villanueva, former Brewers pitcher.
Awesome.
Yes.
Like we had Thanksgiving dinner together. You know?
Oh, my goodness.
It was great. And so like just that's like an extension of our family down there, and that's how I treat it. And I love those guys so much. It was cool to bring my family there to see them because they've never seen the country before. So it was great. And I take a ton of pride in what we're doing down there because we all spend a ton of minutes on that and how important that is to us. And you see these guys coming up, whether, you know, it's Jackson Churio or the next guys we're talking about with Jesus Made on
the way.
I want to knock on wood, but
that's the guy.
I love these guys. And, you know, I'm excited about the future, especially coming from the international space.
I want to know something. I don't want to get you in any trouble. Charlie, we'll not make this a promo. We'll not send this to other media.
Got it.
I'm just curious. Do you think it should be that way in the U.S. like it is internationally, where you can go sign somebody at 16 years old and get him into your system right away? Because if it was that way, wouldn't our kids get better faster if they were able to put into a Brewers Academy here in the States or an Angels Academy or an Orioles Academy instead of continuing to play travel baseball and high school baseball and college? And because, again, now you tell me, I don't know about the academies. I don't know if there's education involved in the academies or what the case is. But I would just think that you'd be able to get players better quicker if that was a thing.
I think you could. You know, it's different in different circumstances. I think there are challenges in both, right? I think there are some real, like, interesting, humane issues, I think, that we have. Because we're talking about signing these players in international spaces at 16, but these agreements are happening well before that, right? Pretty well before that.
So, like, when my kid's, like, 13, y'all are talking to him?
Yeah.
Really?
Family, yeah.
Get out of here.
It's, you know, but you got to evaluate these guys, frankly, even when that age or even younger. And so, you know, and there's no science to that, right? You just got to evaluate the field and understand what you're looking at and have experience in a lot of spaces. So,
Man, I look at my 8-year-old now as a baseball player completely different going forward. 8 years old. When do they get on the radar then international space?
We have these guys running 60s and throwing and hitting and running. I mean, they're at workouts all the time. And so they're at these academies down there. And again, there are some challenges with how that's associated with. And I think there are a lot of things that we could do at the league level, I think, could help. I mean, the big thing that we've talked about, you mentioned this earlier, was just the level of education that I think we should be responsible for and helping these kids continue to learn and grow, because we do have these academies down there. And at our academy, we make that a priority. And we have a lady named Ardella Marquez who does a wonderful job with education for our young players. And I think that's so important, these guys, because not all of them are going to be big leaguers, right? But some of them can be future coaches and scouts and be productive in the community. And so that's really, really valuable to me as well.
All right, I got to ask, as everybody's talking about this kid, and we haven't seen him play stateside yet, Jesus Made, a lot of Churio comparisons, obviously. I don't care. You can hold your head all you want. I'm just telling you what the people are saying, that people are comparing him to Churio, and that's a big, big bar, obviously. But if you take those two points side by side, just contrast and compare them for me. Not that he'll be him, but physical, athleticism, all of that. How do they compare? Ooh, does he have more power than Cheerio? Is he faster than Cheerio? Like, what's the comparison?
Same age, I'll be honest. There are some things that Made is better than.
But, did you hear that? Like, again, I'm standing up in my
so
chair.
Much, that's not fair. It's not fair to him at all. Like, this kid's a baby. You know, I mean, he's so young. I think he's 17, right? And like,
he's been recruiting for like 4 years. So, you just said it, like, when he was like 13 or something.
Longer than that. But anyway, but no. Oh, no, it's no. It's look. It's you got to take a wide lens at all these guys, and that we've had a number of guys that have come up, and you're like, man, this is the next guy, and this is him, and then it doesn't happen for whatever reasons. But you know, touch wood. I mean, this kid's pretty special. I mean, he's got tools, he's got skills, he's really athletic, he's so advanced. I mean, our guys down there. I was just talking to him this weekend. I saw him down there. I mean, he looks good. Like, this kid's physical at 17, and he's still got the baby face thing. You know,
so okay. So when you're 17. And now you're going to make that transition to stateside, because that's when Cheerio blew up here, was when he started going through the minors quickly and you guys kept promoting him. But a lot of it has to be the mental side of it, right? That the physical side is great, but mentally you've got to be able to understand what you're dealing with, pitching and all of that stuff. Does that come quicker when you're on him so early?
It depends. Again, it gets into the veteran scouts that we have there that know the players and know their families. And when you get in the house with these guys, and again, some of these are not even houses. They're like little shacks, honestly. Yeah. And you sit in there, and it's really challenging. But you get to know kind of who they are, who their parents are, if they have parents, if it's a grandparent. And you sit around these guys, and you really get a sense, if you've evaluated for a long time, kind of who they are. Never perfect, but I think just having that feel for who he is, and this kid is really, I mean, this kid's a pretty interesting kid. Again, I don't want to jinx anything.
You're
and I don't
smiling
want to put
from
too much
ear
pressure
to ear.
This, but I love this kid. So, and there are others down there I really like as well. The Luis Pena kid had an awesome year as well. I wouldn't forget about him. And Jose Anderson, I mean, there's a bunch of guys down there we like a lot in the same class.
All right, now let's get to the major league level and what's going on this offseason. Do you like, as a small market team, the compensation package that's offered up to you when you lose a top-level player? Because for you, that's going to be, what, the second and fifth best choice, depending on if a certain team signs or whatever else, if you were to lose Willy Adames. Is that enough to help sustain a small market team that can't compete salary-wise with these big market teams? Because as a fan, we all say, hell no. But what do you say as a general manager?
I mean, I would agree with you, but, I mean, for sure. But it's not up to me. I mean, but yeah, I would love to have more compensation. I mean, I think like parity in our sport is critical, you know, and I think there are different ways to compete. And I think that one of them is through payroll. I think other ways are through creative scouting and analytics and deploying these things and having the connection basically from our ownership all the way down into the players on the major league field. And so, you know, I think you have to have really good systems in place. You have to have the right people in place. I think guys like Pat Murphy, Ricky Weeks, et cetera, just those guys executing, you know, the game plan every night, which is not easy. You know, there's so many people involved behind the scenes that deserve a lot of credit for that. So I definitely would love to have more more draft capital, et cetera, to help offset the payroll discrepancies. But, you know, at the same time, we have support. I mean, we've signed a lot of big-name players here in the past. We've extended players for many years, so I feel like we have plenty of good support from our ownership as well.
Would you want to have more freedom to trade picks like the NFL, like the NBA, where you can move up and down?
Yeah,
because especially when you get an extra two, you get an extra five if you were to lose them or lose one of these top guys to free agency. Now you can go up and maybe have enough capital to go get somebody that you think is a stud. The difference, however, is, in my mind, is these guys aren't going to play right away. So you are really rolling the dice if you're trying to go up to get somebody that may still be 4 years away, and then they've got to stay healthy, and so many things have to happen.
Agreed, yeah. I mean, we don't have the ability to trade those picks. We can trade a compensation pick, so that's one of those, the comp A, the comp B.
But you can't go up to get one overall. You can't do that stuff, no.
You can't do that. I mean, I think it would be a ton of fun.
Yes.
So I'm open to that. If we could do it, I would love to do that. You know, maybe in the next CBA we'll come
again,
up with that.
Fantasy sports background really helping Matt Arnold if we get into that space. He's dealt with this before. He's on it.
Let's
go. A lot of fun.
Three-way, whatever. Let's do it.
Let's go. Let's do it. Oh, that would be fun indeed. Matt Arnold, Brewers General Manager, joining us here. The 18th Annual Fan Toy Drive for Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Come drop off a toy, cash donation, donate online at thefanmilwaukee.com. We're only here until 6 o'clock. We've been here all week, Monday through Friday. Now, I know the weather wasn't that great earlier in the week. A little cold outside. The sun's out now. It's beautiful. So you've got time. Come on down here. Drop off a toy. We've had people come from all other parts. Germantown, a guy came down from his company, dropped off, I don't know, 5-6 big bag of toys. So you can do the same thing as well. Look forward to seeing you down here. Take a quick time out. Come back. We will continue on with Brewers GM Matt Arnold for one more segment out here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek on Rawson Avenue, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Sparky with you.
You're listening to The Fan and Kiss FM's 18th Annual Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Served up by Wendy's with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Stop at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek today until 6 p.m. to drop off a brand new toy. If you can't make it, go to thefanmilwaukee.com to donate online.
Welcome back. We are out here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Last day of the 18th Annual Fan Toy Drive. Each one of these years has always been the first full week after Thanksgiving. It's always the same week every single year. You can always lock in that you know when the Fan and Kiss FM will be at Blaine's Farm and Fleet collecting toys, and no different this year. Drop off a small toy for Children's Wisconsin in Robin's Nest, or a big toy, or as many toys as you'd like. Cash donation, you can go online at thefanmilwaukee.com. Thanks so much to Bear Sunrooms. Matt Arnold really appreciates it as well. We're in here taking advantage of the nice warmness that we have inside of here doing our show as we broadcast from the 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Matt Arnold, let's continue, shall we? Okay, let's move forward now and talk about a couple of other things that I'm kind of curious about. I'm going to ask for honesty, but I know I may not get it, so let's just start there. How much of that Josh Hader thing rattle this organization when you traded him, the effect that it had on the clubhouse, the fans that came down on you hard for it, and everything that happened after that? How much of an effect did that have?
I think it did. I don't think there's any way to deny that. I mean, certainly I think there, when you have to make tough decisions, it's going to come with some challenges, right? And I think, like, we have to be prepared for that. And I think it's some of it's on us. We have to continue to help educate and let people know, like, this is why we're making these types of deals. And that's hard, especially in season with a closer like Josh Hader. But ultimately, that ends up turning into somebody like Robert Gasser and William Contreras, you know? And so, like, I know that it stings in the moment, especially for the people that are closest to it, including us. And we all love Josh and who he was and what he meant to this team. But we have to make some tough decisions here in order to keep this sustainable. And so, can't hide behind that. That is what it is. It's part of our DNA. And so, we're going to have to continue to make tough decisions, going to have to continue to articulate those as well as we can. But hopefully, ultimately, they end up becoming future all-stars like William Contreras does.
I want to come back to Contreras, but I want to stay with Hader a little bit and Corbin Burns and so forth. I've said on the air so many times, there is no way I would allow, if I was an agent, there is no way I would allow my player to be in an arbitration hearing ever, ever, ever. You're going to stay home, and I got this. Do not come. And if I'm you all, I'm telling him, do not come. Because all it possibly can do is ruin the relationship. And we can all say, oh, it's a business, I understand. But they're never going to get out of their head what was said about them. And it's not going to be positive because you're trying to save money, they're trying to make money. It's a horrible system.
It's a horrible system. And so it's like, hey, we love you, but you got to go through this process and we have to crush you in it. And then just kidding, we still love you. Like, it's awful, right? And so, hopefully we can avoid those things to the extent we can. Hopefully they never become personal because it is part of the business. None of us like it. None of us like the system, but it is what it is, at least for now. And again, like, Corbin's from my hometown, so, like, you know, we still have a good relationship. I think a lot of these guys, you go through the process, you're intense in the moment because we're all super competitive, and I totally get that, and you come out better from it, hopefully, in the end.
But as from a fan perspective, I don't get some of this stuff. We're arguing over $250,000 or $500,000 or whatever the case may be. And I'm just like, man, what are we doing? Like, just give him the money. It's the last year. We can't afford to sign him anyhow after this year. Why go through all this and anger him and have the bad PR and everything else? Just pay him and move on. So is that the ownership is fighting to save this money? Is this Major League Baseball telling you all you got to take this side and fight to save that money to keep the line for players' salaries? Like, where is it? Where does this come from that you're haggling over this money?
It's a little bit of all those ingredients, I would say. It's like it's a little bit slippery slope. It's like if you give your kid a little bit more time on the iPad, he's probably going to ask for a little bit more.
It's true.
So, like, you know, again, right. Like, that's just personal for me, like with my little guy, but You know, where does it end, I guess, is the question really from ownership. And so we have to do a job with being responsible for every dollar we spend here. And so at what point do you just say yes or no, I think is a very fair question. But look, ultimately, we want to try to be fair. I think that's the most important thing. And frankly, avoid the hearing if we can, because I think, like you said, those end up becoming as challenging as any kind of complicated negotiation can ever be, right? Because you're saying you love the guy, but then you have to take him to a hearing and kind of crush him a little bit and then come back and make sure that he's on board with performing. Like, that's really hard, you know,
yes.
as a human being, hearing all those things and then walking out and say, hey, I still love this place. So we have to really try to be humane about all those things and all those conversations, and I really do take that seriously.
Is Brewers GM Matt Arnold out here at the 18th Annual Fan Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robbins next. King's Catering out Oak Creek got their fire truck, food truck up and running here. I'm still waiting. Jack, can you go find out confirmation what this menu is? Because I'd like to know. I want to know, is it steak sandwiches? Is it tenderloin tips over noodles? Is it something completely different than what we talked about last night? All their food's delicious, and highly, highly recommend the food truck. The food is outstanding. Okay, Matt Arnold, let's go back to William Contreras. So, young guy, has improved greatly. I feel like he's a leader in the clubhouse, is well-liked. Defensively, you've seen him grow some. What defensively? Obviously, he can hit. So, when do extension talks begin to where you're trying to extend him out so you don't lose this one in free agency?
Yeah, I think, look, it depends on the player. I think in this case, I think you pointed out all the reasons why to do something like that. I think, and we have, I think, like we talked about a little bit off the air there with Jackson Churio, with no service time. We've extended guys like Christian Yelich, yep, with a lot of service time and an MVP. So we're always open to those kind of conversations, especially with somebody like William Contreras.
But it takes two to tango, obviously.
For sure.
Right? So you may want to do it, but the agent may be like, no, dude, I'm cashing in with the Dodgers or somebody else when I get my opportunity to go get big money. And then there's nothing you can say, because then the case is closed. So it kind of depends on who the agents are. But I would assume there are some agents you have a great relationship with that's more willing to work with you, and then there are other agents that are probably not as willing.
I get along with everybody, so no. Maybe
you get along with Scott? You get along with Scott?
Everybody, mostly. But no, it's no. You have to have those kind of relationships to get things done in this game, and I've been working in it for 25 years, yeah, now, and so you can't burn bridges. My dad always told me never burn a bridge. You don't have to, and so if you have a tough conversation with them, pick up your skirt and just, yep, go back, get back on the horse and get the next one. You know, it's like, we're not going to win every conversation, but you really do. You have to find the right tenor for the tone for every one of these conversations, and you have to find what's important to these guys. And sometimes it is just something that we can't control necessarily. They just want to go see what's next. And in some cases, hey, they really want to roll up their sleeves and get something done here. I think the important thing for us is just creating the culture where people want to be here. And I really do feel like we have that kind of culture.
When we used to have Doug Melvin on, Doug Melvin had a philosophy. He wanted plus power at every position if he could have it. He wanted plus power at second, plus power at short. Every position for that ballpark, he wanted guys that could hit the ball. That was his deal, okay? You all, this lineup right here does not feel like that. This lineup right here feels like I'm watching the St. Louis Cardinals back in the 80s, where there's speed all over the place. We're pressuring guys. You still have a couple of boppers, obviously, in there, but it doesn't feel the same way. Having said that, if you were to lose a Willy Adames in free agency, that's a lot of pop that essentially you're going to lose. How important is power to you? Do you have, because again, I'm going back to fantasy baseball, right? When you play in a rotisserie league, you know how many home runs you kind of need to win that category on a year-to-year basis. Do you have that number kind of there of, we need these many home runs based on what we project year-to-year in order to be where we want to be?
I mean, first of all, I love power. So, like, there's no denying that. I think power, in a lot of ways, I think power costs money, right?
Right.
And so you got to pay for those guys that hit 40. And so we have to be creative in different ways where we can't always afford to go sign those kind of guys. But we can try to, as hard as we can, to certainly draft and develop them, certainly, and take shots where we can to access those types of guys. But I mean, fairly old school, you know, from my perspective, like athletes that can hit, right? And so I think, like, that's a pretty old school mentality. I think we have guys that play the game the right way, that can run, field, hit, throw, you know, and do a lot of things, not just hit for power. Because I think you have a lot of guys where you have dead spots in the lineup where if you end up striking out too many times, that's going to cost you in a high leverage situation. So we have a lot of guys that put the ball in play. Murph does a great job getting the most out of guys, hitting behind runners, doing little things, stealing bases, getting going first to third, first to home on a double, all those types of things that I think are so important for us. And they're little things. They may not show up on the fantasy baseball things every day, but they're super valuable.
I love the style of baseball that I watched last year. I think every fan loved the style of baseball that we watched. Can we talk about your draft philosophy?
Sure.
It does not appear to be that of David Stearns. No, it does not. And I am very happy if it's not, because I love David Stearns, but drafting all these small dudes that could play up the middle was driving me nuts. I had about my fill. And this draft comes and Brock Wilkin gets picked. I'm like, oh, my God, he's not going to do the same thing. Oh, my God, I am so happy right now. Driving like 6'5 guys, all this. I was like, okay, times are changing. So are times a changing, or is this a one-time deal and I should not get my hopes up?
I mean, look.
I'll tell you this. This is what I said. I'll tell you what I said. David Stearns would never have drafted Prince Fielder that year. No chance. Would not have happened.
I don't know. I'll tell you, Prince back in the day could run. He could dunk. I mean, he was an athlete. So
yes,
I mean,
but he was a first baseman, and he did not draft first baseman in the first round.
I don't know. I love David. I don't know.
I love David, too. I don't think that would have happened. But go ahead.
Talking about this, I mean, doubling down on it with somebody like Breland Payne this last year. I mean, he comes out and he's raking already in low A. And you know, this, you talk about the twitchiest guy who was available at our pick. I mean, that was the guy. And so for us and our scouts and our draft room, it was like, you can't find a guy with the kind of upside of somebody like Breland Payne at that pick. You can't find somebody like Brock Wilkin, et cetera. So we need to try to take responsible shots to shoot the moon a little bit on prospects. And we're not going to hit on all these guys. But I think, like you said, like finding these guys with those types of upper tier tool sets is something that's pretty important, because they're not there in the third and fourth round. They have to be there in the first.
Tom Brewer's GM, Matt Arnold, here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on The Fan. Let's talk about another draft strategy. It feels like, tell me if I'm wrong, y'all like taking your home run swings at guys that people don't think they can afford in earlier rounds and doing it in later rounds, like Cooper Pratt being one of those guys. That also seems to be a philosophy. So when does that planning start? When do those conversations start with guys like that that you plan on maybe taking later versus earlier of, hey, we've got an idea. If we get this to work, we're going to try and make a hard push for you later in the draft?
It starts like now, to be honest. Like, we're having draft conversations already.
And trying to figure out the number that you're going to need from said player and agent before you get to that point?
If you can. Sometimes it's really hard to assess because they're trying to figure out their market and who's on them and who's not. But yeah, to the extent you can get that information sooner, for sure. You know, I think what we try to do is just say, like, who's the right guy at this pick and this value, and is it worth just investing more chips into this one player versus spreading that out, right? And I think the example there, I think, is you said about Pratt, Betonti, Jacob Mizorowski. You know, you get these guys that can be aircraft carriers, and they're just later in the draft, and you just have to pay for that, I think, to some degree. But you see what the upside is on that type of guy, and I love shooting the moon on those types of guys as well, for sure.
Two more, and then we'll call it a day because we're already at 3:31. Where are we at with Brandon Woodruff? And don't get my hopes up like they do with Chris Middleton in the Bucks, because I can't handle it. They're driving me nuts over there. And he's going to play tonight, and that's good, and I'm happy. But back at the end of training camp, I thought he was going to play at some point in the first 2 weeks, and we've been waiting. So don't do that to me. But just give me an idea where are we at, because I think if he is close to Brandon Woodruff, this rotation is significantly better with him at the front.
No question. Yeah, you clearly haven't. I haven't. I mean, you remember when you see Big Wu on the mound, and this guy is an animal. And like, you talk to guys, especially when they're with other teams, and he's got a different kind of fastball. It's just like when this guy's coming at you, especially in a big game, you do not want to face this guy. So he's definitely trending in the right direction. We all know the challenges there with the shoulder coming back, et cetera. But he's working his tail off. I know he's throwing this winter, especially. He's going to get back on the hump here in January. And we'll see what it looks like in February. But I think he's in a really good spot. Really wanted to help us. I know he was itching to try to get back even at the end of last season. So he definitely wants to be on the mound for us, and he's excited to be here.
Did you really tell somebody at some point that, yep, Devin Williams is going to be with us at the beginning of the year? You didn't really say that to somebody, did you? You didn't.
What point?
You didn't. I at some point, I thought I saw something that said, oh, yeah, Devin Williams will be with us come spring training or whatever the case may be. We can't close the door this early on a potential Devin Williams here or not there in the last year of his deal, because I argue if he's on opening day unless something catastrophic happens with this roster, he's going to be there at the end of the season, because you're only trading Devin Williams at the All-Star break if you're rocking and rolling. No, you're not going to do Josh Hader twice. No, you're not. Don't look at me like that. No, you are not. No, I don't believe you at all. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Hey.
Find out.
No.
No, no,
no.
No.
Don't, nope. I don't believe you at all. I'm not going to allow myself to believe you. You're not going to sucker me into this one. But, I mean, realistically, though, you have to listen to offers. You have to be willing to have those conversations. In my mind, I got the GM here. I'm going to pitch my trade. Devin Williams, Alec Bohm in Philadelphia and a prospect, whatever the case may be. That solves third base. If you lose Adames, Ortiz or Terang, second and shortstop, and you get something major league ready and that takes care of a problem, McGill's a stud, it looks like, from what I saw last year, and you roll.
I'll write that down. No, I look, I think... I think you said it. I mean, you're right. It's like we can never shut doors on anything here, but I will tell you, I think we're a better team with Devin Williams. You know,
for sure.
I think this guy, you know, means a lot to the back end of our bullpen, and really just kind of the tone that he sends, really, with the rest of our bullpen as well. He's been the reliever of the year twice. Like, that's really hard to do. This guy is incredibly good. So I definitely think that we're a better team with him. I think, we obviously are obligated, I think, to listen in these different types of conversations. I love spitball on different ideas for sure. But we'll see what happens. You know, we got a long way to go. We're going to the winter meetings here on Sunday, so we'll see what happens in Dallas.
I lied. I got one more.
Okay.
What do you really feel about the Athletics?
Oh, my God. Really? We don't have time for this.
No, I got Mitch Thunder analysis is fine. He'll wait over here for you to get done. I want a little taste of what this is all about. Because, again, I mean, you grew up watching the Athletics in that stadium, man. This has got to be heartbreaking. It would be heartbreaking for me if this was happening to the Brewers.
Yeah, I think that's a good analogy. It'd be like if the Brewers just were, like, moving to
Atlanta. That already happened once with the Braves moving to Atlanta.
Something like that. Yeah. And you're like, really? Like, you know, I got generations of A's fans in my family that, like, they barely pull for me as a Brewers fan. Like, I work here.
And
man.
You're in
like,
the other league. What does
like,
it matter?
Give me a break.
Yes.
Like, come on. But it's like, it's to your point. It's like you build up that equity as a fan forever. You know what I mean? And, like, going to games as a kid and watching Carney Lansford and Ricky Henderson all those guys,
Eckersley,
the Bash Brothers and Eck and you know, all those guys, Welch and Moore and Stewart. And, like, I tried to pitch like Dave Stewart with throwing low 80s with my hat low.
Gotta
and
have that
nothing
stare.
Coming out.
That
like,
dude was intimidating.
It was awesome.
Mouth.
And, like, I tried to be that guy. I couldn't do it, obviously. So that's why I'm here as a nerd. But it was great. I mean, like, that's what we build our, you know, our stories around. And that's what it's about to be a fan, you know. And
right.
to have that just, like, walk out the door, like, I think it's unconscionable, to be honest. Like, it just, it's
those fans
it's
are really... not going to root for them in Las Vegas, right?
No, I mean,
because I'm watching Oakland Raiders fans root for the Las Vegas Raiders, so I just want to know, is it going to be the same thing with baseball?
I was a Raider fan. I won't pull for the Raiders in Vegas, so that's enough for me. Like,
you
can't
and I can
that.
Hang out because I'd be the same way. You leave me, screw you. We're
no
done.
Chance.
Yeah,
I'm pulling for the Packers last night. I was,
there you go.
I was.
All right.
I was up late. I let my son stay up till 10:30. I was like, bro,
you
a couple more minutes. You got this one. And we did. We lost, but anyway, I was
it was worth
like
it.
It was.
It came all the way down to the end.
It's a good game, man.
Yeah.
We were pulling like crazy.
That's
we're
awesome.
Packers fans.
I love it. He is Matt Arnold, GM of the Milwaukee Brewers. If you listen to this interview and you don't love Matt Arnold, I don't know what to tell you because this dude's amazing. He is Matt Arnold. Thanks so much for coming out to Toy
Appreciate
Drive.
Appreciate you, man.
You
Thank
betcha.
You.
Absolutely right. 18th Annual Fan Toy Drive and Kiss Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest. Come on out here. Donate. Blades Farm and Fleet, Oak Creek, Rawson Avenue. Toys, cash, online at thefanmilwaukee.com. Coming up next, we'll check in with our guy Mitch Thunder Nellis from the Mason Crosby Show. He's next here on The Fan.